Voice of Life will this Tuesday, September 20th, 2011, host Advocates of Peace for 1 hour talk show from 8 to 9 p.m. This is ahead of the International Peace Day, slated for September 21st, 2011, with the national venue being Gulu District. The theme for this year's International Peace Day is Make Your Voices Heard. The peace activists will be from the Justice and Reconciliation Project and Mayank Development Association. The district venue for the Peace Day in Yumbe District is Romogi Sub-County. To participate during the talk show, call telephone numbers 0772-45-3045 and 0392-71-6233. Voice of Life, 100.9 FM, the voice you can trust.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to Voice of Life, 100.9 FM, the voice you can trust. It's 6 minutes after 8 p.m., and we're blessed, indeed, this very evening to be having a team of guests from the Justice and Reconciliation Project, and we have a team of three officials from this very particular organization, and we also have in the studio Mzee Nahori Oya, is standing for the elders team in this part of this country. And we're talking about, the team is basically here to talk about the International Peace Day, and they are actually coming to give you information ahead of this very important day, which is a landmark in this globe. And I'm privileged to introduce the team. Right in the studio, we have Mr. Okwiri Isaac Odia. He is a project officer, JRP in Gulu. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
We also have in the studio Madam Lindsay McLean. She is a communications officer with the Justice and Reconciliation Project. Welcome, madam.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then we also have the team leader, Community Mobilization, JRP. Madam Sylvia Opinia, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And once again, thank you, Mzee Nahori Oya, for coming to Voice of Life tonight.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and my name is Jonathan, who will be moderating our guests tonight. And I already said the team is basically here to talk about the International Peace Day. In this case, Gulu is hosting the national event. And West Nile is also privileged to be having an activity, which I would like not to preempt. Madam Sylvia is right here, better placed to probably give us an intro to this discussion tonight. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan, and thank you, listeners. And I'm sure many of you have heard me on this radio before. I am a big fan of this radio and a friend of this particular show. And always talking about peace. So tomorrow is the International Peace Day. What is this Peace Day? What does it mean to Uganda? And what does it mean to the people of West Nile? Why should the people of West Nile celebrate the International Peace Day with the rest of the world? The national celebrations are in Gulu, but why are we hitting the road for Yumbe? So we really want to interact with you on these issues. And of course, we have experts here in the studio who are going to talk more about these issues. And experts outside there, the listeners, yourself, we would really want you to interact with us on this issue. This is not an issue for us alone. This is peace is an issue for everyone. We are all peaceful animals or peaceful human beings, and we hope that we shall have fruitful discussions. So I am privileged to introduce this team, as Jonathan had already mentioned their names, and we look forward to an hour of fruitful interaction. Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you, Sylvia. On behalf of the management of Voice of Life, we welcome you also. Yeah, Madam Lindsay McLean, Communications Officer, JRP, please give us an overview, probably why this idea of the International Peace Day was conceived, and then we continue in that order.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks to Voice of Life and all of the people of West Nile. As Jonathan said, my name is Lindsay McLean, and I work for the Justice and Reconciliation Project. We're an organization, a non-governmental organization based in Gulu, but we currently have several different ongoing projects in West Nile to deal with issues of reconciliation and justice. We work primarily with conflict-affected persons. We've been in West Nile for a little over a year. We first started working with the West Nile COIN Rebel War Victims Association in Arua, but a few months ago we expanded our efforts in Yumbe, and I think our program for International Peace Day will be based in Yumbe tomorrow, but that doesn't mean that those of you in other areas in West Nile can't still do something small to celebrate the day. International Peace Day is celebrated every year on the 21st of September. It was first started in 1981 when the United Nations General Assembly adopted this resolution to commemorate annually efforts for peace around the world. So every year on the 21st of September, people gather countries across the globe and do everything from small gatherings in their home to big events where thousands of people go. And this year, the organizers at the national level have created a really wonderful theme, Make Your Voice Heard. And that's really the motto of the Justice and Reconciliation Project as well. We feel like there are a lot of people in this region and across northern Uganda that haven't had a voice for so long because of the conflict. And we hope that this year's International Peace Day will be an opportunity for those victims and survivors of conflict to be heard.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds interesting looking at the theme, Make Your Voices Heard. And definitely there are people who have been left out, I guess, in the communities, whose voices still remain, you know, in the wilderness. And as JRP specifically, what are the key highlights that you would like to make, especially when we're talking about West Nile? You've already talked about the West Nile Konyu War Victims Association as a beneficiary of JRP activities, but among others, probably are there other significant achievements you've made?
Yeah, sure. We really believe that in order for peace to be sustainable across Uganda, victims need to be involved in processes to build the peace. So we do everything from advocacy on behalf of victims' issues. That ranges from memorials to reparations to just acknowledgement of their suffering. We also help in documenting some of the legacies of the conflict. We haven't released our report yet on West Nile, but we have released several reports on different key events that took place during the conflict in Acholi, Lango, and Tessa subregions, and West Nile is still forthcoming. But in the past, we've been here to hold different consultations with victims to get their views on some of the discussions that are taking place at the national level. The Ugandan government is really starting to build momentum to recognize the past legacies, the legacies of abuse, and also ensure that they're not repeated in the future. But as JRP, we're really interested to hear specifically from those most affected by conflict.
Maybe a shift from the International Peace Day, looking at West Nile, especially the Konyi war victims, what tangible benefits have they actually had from JRP that you're proud about?
One thing that we're really proud about is that we've helped connect that particular group with different victims groups across the Greater North. So they've traveled to Gulu, they've traveled to Atiak, they've traveled around the north to meet with different groups. They've also received advocacy training from us to help them identify some of their key issues. We've helped them organize meetings with local leaders. We did this earlier this year before the elections. And we also were helping them to organize the first ever West Nile Memorial event. This was to take place in May, I believe. Unfortunately, at the last minute, it wasn't able to go through, but we're still looking forward to communication from especially Arua District on a new date for this memorial event. We feel like it's important to recognize and honor those that lost their lives during the conflict in West Nile, or the many conflicts for that matter in West Nile. We understand that LRA isn't the only group that's affected people of West Nile.
Yes, Madam Sylvia, I know you have a lot of tasks here to accomplish. Looking at still the post-war effects, do you concentrating specifically on healing, and do you think a lot has been achieved already?
That is really a tricky question, Jonathan, and I want to throw this question out to the listeners: what has been achieved? Because Peace Day is to mark the world's progress towards peace. So it's a good question: what has been achieved in terms of healing? When you look at West Nile is unique in a way, unique from the rest of the country. It had many different conflicts, ranging from West Nile Bank Front, UNRF-1, UNRF-2, many other conflicts, and other conflicts within families, conflicts within between clans, different conflicts. And when you look at the Peace Day has three guiding principles. One is peace within, which focuses on each person's internal peace within him or herself. Then the second is peace without, which focuses on peace throughout the larger community and the world. And the third is peace year-round, which focuses on making commitments to peace on a daily basis that extends beyond this one-day event. And there are many commitments that have been made to and by the people of West Nile. For instance, there was the Yumbe Peace Accord that was signed between the government of Uganda and UNRF2, led by Alim Bamuse. And how far? It is almost 10 years now since the peace accord was signed. What is the progress made in achieving this commitment to the people of West Nile? I mean, West Nile is a legacy. People come from all parts of the world to learn how the people of West Nile, the children of West Nile, listened to their elders and put down their guns. But how does that translate in practical terms to the people of West Nile? What progress has been made by all the stakeholders, government, communities, civil society, elders, the cultural institution, different stakeholders? What progress have they made in making sure the commitments made to the people of West Nile are being realized? When you talk about conflicts, you talk about victims, you talk about ex-combatants. I want to say something special. I was talking to someone like Nora today. Yesterday was 19th of September. This was the day when Nora lost her son in the Bash ambush. And this is supposed to be a memorial time for a person like Nora Fatum. So what does this mean to her? What does it mean to the children who are still being kept by the LRA, you know, and the rest of the children like Nora's children who are not yet accounted for right now? What is our country doing to ensure that these children come back home? How about a person like Jane Jato from Pakwach, who was on that same bus but lost one of her eyes, lost her right arm, is not able to do the manual things that she used to do, the business that she used to survive on. Her marriage has gone into tatters because she cannot fend for her family. She cannot do the things a usual wife should be doing, a wife from West Nile should be doing for her husband. So these are the practical issues. How far have we gone into making a difference in the life of such people? So that's why I said I am throwing this question back to the listeners. So we think about this, we meditate upon it, and think about what is it that each one of us can do to make a difference in the life of a victim, in the life of an ex-combatant, to ensure that there's a peaceful coexistence within the community and promote peace within West Nile and Uganda at large.
Hmm. Yeah, I know definitely we will give an opportunity to whoever is tuned to this very important program to ask a question or make a comment pertaining this program. And a question has been posed, and definitely we will give you an opportunity in a couple of minutes from now to be able to respond. Now, I'm glad Mzee Nahor Oya is here, and Mzee, you're on ground, especially here in West Nile, and you've seen a lot of events unfold, you know, as far as talking about war, you know, insurgencies in the region, then different efforts by different organizations in ensuring that justice prevails, that peace is built, and that people come together and to build their own country. Do you appreciate efforts being made?
Thank you, Mr. Jonathan, and our colleagues and the members of the panel here and the listeners at large. First of all, I want to thank you for having given me this opportunity to be a part of this important international day, also to share with you the little I know, because most of these things, when they took place, I've been around, and in some cases I've been a stakeholder, because either I was in the government or in the politics, so most of the things which took place, I was able to know them. I am chairman of Madhuri Barakatu Foundation, as Aaron told you, and our focus as this organization is actually focusing to peace, justice, reconciliation and development. That is the why we have actually, a few of us have come with this idea of forming this association, because we see these things are actually at a stake. We do appreciate the efforts put by international organizations, governments, and so on, in order to try to restore peace in our region. There have been exercises from government side. I think the parliament passed a bill of amnesty. This was also an effort from the part of government to try and make sure they have peace and reconcile. The ex-combatants will be brought on the board. They are listened to and the matters be addressed so that they can be integrated into the population. This exercise had its own problems also, because the ex-combatants are people who have been fighting, and there are people who have been actually responsible of committing some atrocities among the local population where they have been operating. And here is the institution, government is now coming to address the plight of people who were perpetrating insecurity and who had actually caused a lot of suffering among the population. And the population that the grass looked at it as if the government was a part of this exercise, because it is trying to cater for people who are able, who are responsible of bringing problems on them.
Yeah, so, if I can interject, yes. I remember somebody said, must we also go to the bush in order to benefit from the state?
Such questions have ever been down there on the ground, talking of rehabilitating them, talking of compensating them, talking of them. How about people whom they have killed? How about the people whom they have made to suffer? Those whom they chased away from their home, they went to the exile, they lost their children because of malnutrition, because of diseases, and so on. And these have not been addressed, but they look at the perpetrators of problem as an issue, as an agenda, national agenda. These cries are down on grassroots. When we talk about the coin issue, mostly it is addressing part of another region, the Gulu area, actually in the Langu sub-region, and yet this war, many people suffered from this area in West Nile as a result of this war. Although the elders of West Nile actually signed a memorandum of understanding with the people of Acholi and actually denounced the war. But then, as the war progressed, the people continued to suffer. Many people lost their commercial goods. People borrowed loans from banks. These things were burnt on the way. and such victims had their properties confiscated, sold by banks, and these people have been left. Nobody has heard anything about them. Nobody cares about them. People lost their lives. Nobody is addressing those issues. They talk of reconciliation, reconciling with whom? With whom? Is the perpetrator who was responsible of this atrocity, has it come forward to the aggrieved parties to seek for reconciliation? Are we going to put reconciliation artificially just as a national policy that there should be reconciliation? These are the things at a grassroots. And many, many things are happening. A lot of money is wasted, is being pushed by international organizations to try to address victims and so on. But the people who are actually affected as a result of these things, are they being looked at critically? Some people lost their education. They lost the opportunity of going to higher institutions. As a result, they are now on streets. Nobody is addressing the plight of people who lost opportunities because of the war. But the people who are perpetrating this war are being catered for. People are struggling for peace. But for us, is our approach is a traditionalist. Is different, and nobody is taking heed of what we are trying to do on the ground. We realize there's a problem. But for us, in our traditional method of work, when problem, calamity breaks out, we are not going to say who committed this crime. Traditionally, we say, what is the root cause of this? What are the root causes of this problem? Why did somebody in his sane mind took up guns and started killing people with impunity? Traditionally, normally when there is a calamity breaks in our African setting, people go back and start to press, say, must have we committed something bad that warrants this situation to happen, this calamity to occur upon our people? They look back. They self-criticize themselves. They begin to press it. What must have been the root causes of this problem? All this problem here we are trying to address here, as far as global tradition is concerned, we have taken it from point of trying to address the symptoms leading up to the root causes of the problem. Many sons, great sons of these nations have lost lives innocently, cold-blooded killing innocently, which has never been addressed. We look at wars where people lost life. But there are people who have been losing life either politically, because whether politically these killings have been politically motivated or what. But these are the people who have got their own relatives who looked at their sons who are being battered as a contribution of them to the national service. And as a result, they now, these children have shedded the blood, innocent blood, and nobody talks about it all over the region. So, as far as the Madilu Agricultural Foundation is concerned, we say we must bring up out this organization, first of all, to try to address the issue of culture. Because for us, we believe many things, as far as our culture is concerned, many things went wrong into our culture. When the foreigners came into our region, when they interacted with our people, if we looked at the history of people of West Nile, people really were brutalized. When the Arabs came here, Arabs, Khartoum slavers came here, people were taken as slaves, as porters, and so on, whatever. Many atrocities were committed in this area. When this area was under Belgian rule, you hear the name they call Ogaraba. Ogaraba is referred to as a colonial agent. Ogaraba is the Mzungu. Ogaraba is the Mzungu. All civil servants, all these people who are working in the government are looked as an agent of a colonialist. This thing is bringing a problem up to today. People are not comfortable with the institutions like government. There is a war going on between the local population here based on the history of the people with the government and the authority. Because looking at the history, how these people mistreated the people in this area here. Ogaraba, during Belgium's time, the word Ogaraba is an axe. During Belgium's time, they really were chopping people's head using axe. Executioners were executing people using axe. Said the Lubari referred to all colonial agencies or Garaba people were carrying axes around to chop people's head. This thing has remained here. When the British came, they called some of the Munduba colonial agents, people of Europeans. Up to today, we don't have good relationship with the authorities. Up to now, these are problems of peace. These are problems of development. And this is a problem with of justice, because a lot of injustice was done in this area and with impunity. To date, nothing was done, has been done as far as these things go. People are struggling with the peace. It is a struggle to get peace, but it's not easy to sustain peace, because the root causes of insecurity, which has brought the absence of peace, has not been addressed adequately. In this organization, we therefore say, let us go down to our history. Our history will tell us our common destiny. Our history will bring about brotherhood and solidarity, a sense of belonging. When we go to our history, we say, yes, we are now called Rubara. Which are the ethnic communities, the clans that form the tribe called Rubara? Who are these tribes? This is the task the organization is trying to undertake, to reach out and identify the ethnic communities that constitute the tribe called Rubara. Why are we doing this? Because we want people to understand they are all people of common destiny. They must know where they came from and how they have reached the present stage. Then, when you get these clans, before the Mosungu came here, we had clan leaders who were both political and religious leaders. They were controlling people at the clan system. We didn't have a central authority. We had our clan system, although they were still in the clusters. What we call a DNG. You could live it according to your plans. And they had a system of getting leadership and a system of evolving into authority. And we are trying to say, if we follow our allegiance in these clans, who was the last clan leader here when the Mosungu came? And who could be now a clan leader to take care of culture? To be custodian of culture. And then what are these cultural values which these people must take into account so that we have a ground to stand, and then we see how we can cooperate with our neighbors and now embrace programs of development when people have really rediscovered themselves and people are en route to development. And it is this class who will identify some problems which might be responsible, which must have been responsible to cause all these atrocities in these areas here. And there is a method, a traditional method of resolving such issues which might bring calamity on the society. And this cannot be addressed by anybody because either you're educated or because you worked in the government for a long time, you have been an opinion leader. No. Do you have authority? It is these clan leaders who must form a council to come to address some of these problems which might bring calamity on our people. That is the line which has been totally left out. Because when the colonial superstructure came here, they adopted a traditional system of administration from kingdom areas in Buganda, and ours is non-kingdom area. When they came here, they were leaders, they suppressed those leaders completely. They brought new leaders, imposed new leaders on traditionalists. And then completely downgraded the traditionalists, and they gave them all name of demonic names and whatever activities they denounced it completely. These leaders were put down, so they brought a new structure. The smallest administrative unity up to now is called a Nyapara. Nyapara is a Muganda word meaning headman. It is not a local word. And this Nyapara is the one to chase people around for taxes, for free labor, whatever. This Nyapara. Now, even the whole chief who was very respected may be mishandled. And then people say, what is this? Is this the civilization? For trying people to tell us to leave us our leaders and so on. Yeah. Then you have Mukungu. Mukungu is Bakungu, Mukuwaka. It is a Luganda word. This is these are the foreign things which have been imposed on the people of Luganda. They are not fitting very well in this system. It divided the people. It is very artificial, but it is a coercive and authoritative. So these, for us as a tradition, we look at these problems that they may culminate to some of the insecurity which is here. So we have almost three areas. Pre-colonial history of our problems which can be carried forward, and the colonial legacy which is inherent up to now, and the post-colonial problems which we can now address. But as a traditionalist, we will have to start right from pre-colonial time to the post-colonial period, and then we begin to address this. It is that way that we feel our people can now come together and begin now to look at their neighbors as their brothers and begin to address now problems of national issues. The war, for example, the Konyi War in northern Uganda, where we have suffered. Our people say enough is enough. We have nothing against one another. That is what our people personally said. They said enough was enough. They didn't want wars here. Our people have always been used to fight other people's war. This time, this war must not cross River Nile. This was the resolution passed by the elders. Was it around 1986? 1987. So that is when our people were brought into this war. This was not our war, and that is what our elders resolved. We were lured by appointing Brigadier Toko as a vice president in that government. Then he was asked to come and call us to join the government. But our elders said, hey, when you want to join this government, make sure, as far as the war is concerned, we don't want any more war. That was our stand. And he gave us some relative peace, although we continue to suffer as a result of the war which persisted until recently. So many cries are down there. Many cries are at least at the cultural level. They are down there. People are crying and saying, now what is happening? We have done this. It's only recently when the people of West Nile have just started to form, is it the National Liberation War? They are now taking from the National Liberation War was in 1980. Yeah. UNRA went to come in. That is where there's a new organization of West Nile is for war victims. Is now starting from 1980 to date. All this time, these things have not been documented. These victims have not been documented. They have not, nothing has been, it is actually a Konyi War which is now actually in the market, but the people suffered from 1980. People suffered in this area. That was war where people were not say it was a revenge. Mbachi massacre, hot part everywhere. Mbachi graves for the first time. The last mass grave was, I think, during the Belgium rule, when we were under Belgium. But when the British came here, I think there was no mass grave in West Nile. It was until 1984 when we saw mass grave. And this mass grave issue has not been addressed. We were subjected, they gave us a name as the West Nile. It is only, I think, the West Nile, which has been given a name, geographical location. We know how West Nile came. It is when actually the Anglo-Egyptians wanted to pacify the Nile Basin issue, when they wanted to get the entire Nile Basin into under British or under the Egyptian rule. That is how we became a part of Uganda. That is our history. And that one day is a problem. But we appreciate the cultural institution. We really appreciate the international organization and the governmental institution and other groups who are trying to bring peace by using different methods here. But there's one method of trying to identify root causes of the problem which is vested into the cultural institutions, which is not being applied here, which is causing a problem. Because we are just addressing now the symptoms, but the root causes of this problem is not being addressed. That is how we looked at it from a cultural perspective. And well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mzee Nahori Oya, for that in-depth lecture. And indeed, we want to give an opportunity for you to call and ask a question or make a comment. I guess a number of messages are also coming up. We would like to appreciate you for sending them. But you can call us on 0772-453045. And 0392-716233. We'll be definitely interested in getting those calls. And we have officials from the Justice and Reconciliation Project who are right here to talk about the International Peace Day, which is actually going to be celebrated tomorrow in Gulu as the national venue. And in West Nile, we have an activity that will take place in Yumbe, Romogi sub-county in this particular case. And you've just been hearing the voice of Mzee Nahori Oya giving an explanation about peace and justice and other things that have befallen this nation. And we have, as we wait for this call, we have the project officer, JRP Gulu, Mr. Okwiri Isaac Odia. Yeah, would you like to talk about the theater program, especially in Yumbe, that is you're going to incorporate as part of the activities for the International Peace Day?
Yeah.
Well, let's take this call. Hello? Hello? From Yumbe, please speak up. We are not getting you so clearly.
Business in Uganda, like you talk about the human, places are phasing out.
So hazards like landslides. I mean, is it true that the people in Uganda, if, how is the government going to reconcile this? Thank you.
Okay. This person is calling from Yumbe. Peace, I mean, landslides, are Ugandans really at peace? That's the question.
Okay.
Somebody from Yumbe. And I think that's important. Our guests will definitely respond to that question. We would like to pick a few calls. Hello? 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 Yes, please. Sorry? Ronnie.
Robinson.
Yes. Sorry?
But yes, we talk about peace.
Yes.
This government is a non-listening government. Insecurity is not only a war. The rising cost of living predicts that this government can never manage peace. Right away from its initiation, until this government will end, there is no peace. Please, no peace in this government. A non-listening government with bloody hands.
Yeah, I think your question has been taken care of, and definitely our guests will respond. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, please.
Sorry?
Luba, yes. Sorry, it's not time for making your request. So we have a talk show, and if you have a question or comment about this, the JRP and the International Peace Day, please, you can call. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm Atama calling from Arua.
Atama.
Andama.
Andama.
Yes, please.
Yes, Andama.
I'm actually concerned, I think, what Mr. Oya has elaborately given
Yes.
is actually the actual fact of our life in Uganda. Uganda in actual sense is at peace, but the problem of Uganda is number one, lack of respect for others once you are in a high position. You don't actually try to see other people as a part of the community you are leading. And right now, What we believe in Uganda is how much arms do we have to fight the opponent. That is not a reconciliation. That is not peace. And secondly, we were very happy when this government came up that let's now solve our problems in a constitutional manner. And we wrote the constitution. Now this time the constitution is changing clothes changing itself like a woman changing clothes for parties. That's for selfish benefit. Now, is that a peace? And why there is no peace in Uganda is because we don't have a system of changing governments. And that if it's not addressed, there will be no peace in Uganda. There will be no listening to each other. People who are actually being stepped upon will always struggle to surface on the top of the meniscus of the water because they don't want to suffocate. That is the problem with Uganda. If we follow the principles of changing systems in a correct manner, in a faithful manner, not through treachery, not through bribery, I think we are in Uganda, we are very peaceful. You take our neighbors like Congo, when you go there, because of lack of proper management of the state, you are tortured like anything, but Congolese come here, we just accept them freely. So, what are we doing? We have become another Congo-Belgian administration again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andama. We just want to pick a few more calls again and give an opportunity to our guests. We have somebody online. Hello? Hello? Please, when you're calling, turn down the volume of your radio or you try to move away from your radio.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good day.
Aguta, do you have a question? Do you have a question? Okay. Sorry?
My own Zesty Madrid.
Ah, yeah, Imutile.
Also, to your mini very reality. Mahu, this is your best reality, your Mahu Dipe. You're going to ask me, you're looking at me, you're looking
He's saying, complaining that there's no peace in the judicial sector and he thinks that needs to be addressed. I hope Mzee now that's that his effect, among others. We have a call. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, hello? Yeah, go ahead. Do you have a question? Adi?
Samuel. From Adumi.
From Abim.
Adumi.
Yes.
My, it was a problem with it.
Oh.
Your marriage has been sent to democracy. That is the job. Democracy is not a long way of faith.
I went for Samuel. Hello? Hello? Yes, please.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you very much for this program.
Yes, your name?
I appreciate people who are trying to talk about peace, but I believe peace begins from people's hearts.
Do you like?
Home.
Would you like to tell us your name?
My contribution here is this is a totally rotten system where they claim by means of guns and they sustain themselves by means of guns and preaching peace is just abusing people. But they can keep talking, but time will come when this peace will come to an end because it is only a region of people who are peaceful. The rest of Ugandans are worthy. Thank you.
Now, yeah, I just want to make a correction that we're not talking about a government in this case, but we're talking about the International Peace Day. And I think questions must be around peace, really, and the International Peace Day. Please, when you're calling, don't attack any government. But I think that is the trend of our discussion tonight. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. You can call us, and I just want to pick, I think, two last calls for now. And we have some text messages I already have here, and we appreciate two last calls. We'll be grateful to get two last calls from now and give an opportunity to our guests to respond. Time is catching up with us. Hello? Hello?
Hello, please.
Yes. Sorry?
I'm Darlington.
Darlington. Yes, Darlington.
Now, I want to thank Mr. Oya, our elder, for whatever he said. Indeed, if you ever want to understand what Aru is like, go to Mr. Oya, let him give you the understanding, and then comment whether there is peace, there is whatever in this district. In fact, I'm saying, we cannot agree entirely that we have peace in the district, because if we are to celebrate, then it's very ironical. Look at, for example, somebody who has come from somewhere to kill our people, and then we'll give him amnesty with what we want to attack. Look at the Papara himself. Are we doing the real thing and we think normal thing? Thank you very much.
Fine, thank you. And I think I just want to say officially that should mark the end of our call now, since our time is getting out. Friends, there's a text message here. You can take note of that. People have lost greatly in the different wars in our motherland. Now, can we pursue the creation of a Truth, Reconciliation and Peace Commission to dig into the details of the wars now? Let us move beyond the lamentation. That is a question. And I think the second question seems to have already been asked. The person is talking about the economic situation in the country, which is a precursor to conflict. And he also gave examples of other natural calamities like disasters, landslides, and so on. I think you can talk about that. I had asked earlier on, I had asked the project officer JRP to talk about the theater program, and then we'll respond to this question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, the listeners. It's a pleasure to me to share with you this evening. As you said, my name is Isaac. Tomorrow, on that same day of the International Peace Day celebration, we shall also be having community performance. This community performance is basically on a community theater program. And if we are to understand what community theater program is, this is just an interactive approach in which the community come out with different initiatives that ensures that justice and reconciliation prevail within the community. The community initiative could be in terms of drama, song, plays, that expose the problem that community is facing or community have faced, and it also recommend, give a way forward, what should be the solution to the problem that community is facing. So it is more of an interactive approach to the problem that community have faced. So the purpose of this community theater program, it is to mobilize the people to come together, organize themselves and see which is the best way to solve the problem that is within the community. How can the community who is suffering, the conflict-affected community, solve their own problem? They can do this through community theater program. These are initiatives that they see applicable. If I can recall someone talk about the problem that you face, it is you who knows it well and it is you who can come up with the best solution to the problem. So this theater program helps in coming out with the best program that is appropriate for a particular community. The theater program is organized in sessions. If I can recall, our elder here talk about, and in a cultural perspective, the traditional way of understanding what is the root cause of the problem, mm-hmm. so that you get the best solution of the problem. From session 1 to session 8, looks at what has been the problem of the community. It investigates what is the root cause. What is now the problem? What is the effect of the problem on the community at the moment? How can the community solve the problem? It gives out way forward.
Mm-hmm.
So this community theater program is going to bring out the cause of the problem that has been facing the people of West Nile, the effect of the problem, and the solution to the problem at community level. So it's going to be an interactive moment whereby the team, the theater team, will be interacting with the audience. So they will be engaging the audience in interactions in what could be the best way of solving the problem of the people, the conflict-affected people. So the program is going to run tomorrow. I want to be brief because we are running out of time, in summary. So the program is going to be tomorrow running from the arrival time is 1, the participation or the performance kick-off at exactly 2. And we shall have guest speakers. Our guest of honor will be the RDC of Yumbe, who will give a key address note as far as the performance is concerned, as far as the day is concerned. So basically, our theater program is going to run and we will tackle that issue in particular. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam McLean and Sylvia. A number of questions were posed. Yeah, as we wrap up, we're just left with less than 5 minutes to conclude the discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. In response to some of the questions and also comments that were raised by listeners, I think it's important that we remember that peace is so much more than just silencing of guns. Just because the fighting stops doesn't mean that we have peace. An International Peace Day isn't meant to be a superficial celebration of peace, but it's a time to stop, reflect on where we came from, the progress we've made, and what still needs to be done in the future. So it's really, it's a process. Peace doesn't happen overnight, and I hope that we won't get frustrated, that we won't give up on the process. Moreover, peace and these issues really require a two-way dialogue between the actors involved. That could be between the people, the communities, and government at all levels. That can be between victims and perpetrators. But it has to go both ways, where there's a sharing and there's some sort of understanding from both parties. So I really want to encourage you, the people of West Nile, to really encourage and call for this kind of dialogue with the different people that you feel like should be at that table to discuss these issues, whether that's government, whether that's ex-combatants, whoever. We need to have this dialogue. And I do want to say that government is showing some commitment to tackle these issues, so also don't lose hope that nothing's being done, particularly through the justice, law, and order sector. Government has mandated certain officials to focus on issues to do with compensation, with truth-telling, with traditional justice, with courts, with all of these different components for accountability. But what's most important right now at this stage is that you get involved, that it can't just be a discussion between upper-level big people, because then it's not going to really matter to you. And the last thing I'd like to say, and this is also in response to Mazay's comments about the value of culture and tradition, is that, in fact, last week we were in Makura, which is a community in Teso that suffered a massacre in 1989 by then NRA soldiers.
Yeah.
And last year Makura received some compensation from government. And I think a lot of victims have wanted to know, how do we also get our compensation, which is a good question, and we're all asking that. But the people in Makura, the survivors, what they had to say in their drama is that compensation isn't enough. what they really wanted was traditional reconciliation between themselves, the community members, and the government of Uganda. So I would really like to applaud the comments by Mazay and also say that tradition does have a very valuable role to play in this. Thank you.
Thank you, McLean. Sylvia?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Thank you, callers, for your comments. And, of course, it shows that the debate around peace and what progress we've made is an important debate. And I would specifically like to comment on the question, can we pursue a truth and reconciliation in Uganda? And I think that is a genuine, question. And as the author of that message has said, it's time to move on and stop lamenting and, of course, use principles of just like Mosey has elaborated, principles of culture. What are the important things? What issues can we take up and advise government and advise JELOS on how to come up with all these mechanisms to deal with issues? Because we might say that we have a non-responsive government, but we have a government. We still have to engage with the government. And right from that caller's word, stop lamenting and move forward. I am a positivist. I like looking at positive sides of issues. And I know when all of us stand up and say, I can make a difference and bring that together, we all can make a difference. And as it said, let's stop and reflect. It's a day for reflection. How far have we come? And what do we need to do? That's the important thing. And Jonathan, I just want in 1 minute to take this opportunity to launch our Community Voices newsletter.
Fine.
This newsletter is a newsletter dedicated to victims. It is a newsletter where we say victims should share their stories, the challenges they are facing as a result of the injustices, the human rights abuse they have gone through. They should use this opportunity to share it with the rest of the public so that the world knows the exact day-to-day challenges that victims are facing because of the experiences they have gone through. And this first edition is explicit focus on West Nile. Of course, Muse mentioned that the LRA issue is only focusing on other parts of northern Uganda, and that is why JRP is not only working in Acholi and Lango, but also working in West Nile to ensure that voices in West Nile are not left out. There are also victims in West Nile. People in West Nile have suffered from conflict, and they are cultural leaders.
Let me just
in
come
West
in.
Nile.
Yeah, around this time you should be expecting the Turning Point program. We're delaying it for a few minutes and then give you an opportunity to get that program. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I also want to commend the effort of documenting the history of West Nile. I think documentation is a very central aspect for JRP. We do a lot of documentation. If you want some copies of the newsletter and other work that we have done in relation to documentation and other things, please, those who have access to our internet, you can log on to our website, www.justiceandreconciliation.com. Please, victims out there, write your stories, write to us, share with us. We'll put them in the newsletters and on our website and share it with the rest of the world. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Mzee, I think you can say hi, and then we really want to appreciate you for coming, and I hope you've taken the message home and share with people around here. Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan. As I had earlier on said, I also wish to thank the listeners who have responded to and contributed to this thing, and the members of the panel here. I do not actually have much to say. As far as these questions are concerned, I think most of them have been answered, and some of them are really political.
So
I don't want to go into politics. All I want to say is I want to thank you for this magazine. I wish you could also tender me to translate it into Lugbara. Because also the information which is actually intended for local people,
yeah,
because it is now enshrined here in English, they get.
Yeah, that you will discuss with them.
I thank you very much for giving me this opportunity,
yeah,
and I wish you a very good celebration tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so,
thank you so much, guests, for coming, and we would like to appreciate you, and we wish all of you a pleasant time as we commemorate peace. I don't know whether we are celebrating or commemorating, but I think it's important that all of us welcome and embrace, you know, peace initiatives all over. And remember, in West Nile we have an activity which is going to take place in Yumbe tomorrow in Romogi sub-county, but the national venue for the Peace Day is Gulu. Thank you very much, and have a pleasant night.
Thank you.
Next on our program is The Turning Point by Dr. David Jeremiah. By Dr. David Jeremiah.